So what I was sharing earlier, the three things we were talking about last week, how much God loves us, the Holy Spirit teaches us to make good choices, and that Jesus wants to share with us the things that he cares about, because he wants us to care about them too. And that last thing about what Jesus wants to share with us is what we're going to think about today, and I'm so excited about this. And this is what it says in Philippians. We were looking at Philippians, the first chapter of Philippians last month. And this is what it says. Live a life Jesus will be proud of. Do you want to watch the screen so you can see what I'm saying? Full of fruits from the soul, making Jesus attractive to all and getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. Now, who understands that? Kind of understand it, but there are some bits that doesn't really make sense to me. I'm not kind of sure what this fruits from the soul means. I don't know whether there's a tree called soul and you can just go and pick the fruits and eat them. So do you know what I did? I looked into it a little bit, and so I've changed the word slightly to help us understand what I think the Bible is saying. It says live life the way Jesus did, full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Your life will show people how wonderful Jesus is, and we will all give thanks and praise to God. Just imagine if everybody that we came into contact with was all singing and dancing like we just were, giving thanks and praise to God. Wouldn't that be amazing? If everybody knew what we know about how great Jesus is and what a wonderful, what an amazing God he is, and how he created us and how much he loves us and how much he cares for us. Wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah. Thanks, Peter. Come on. So, what does that mean for us today? I was thinking that sometimes, you know, when we talk about things that Jesus did, we often talk about the really big, spectacular things, don't we? Who can think of some of those really spectacular things that Jesus did? Who can think of some of those stories that we know about? What about, he did something with food. Who knows what he did about with food? Anyone knows about food? He fed a lot of people. Anyone know about that?
He broke it up and shared it with his disciples.
He didn't. He only had 5 loaves and 1 fish, and somehow he fed 5,000 people. That is pretty spectacular. What stories do you know?
I remember that when there was only a couple of loaves, when Jesus of Nazareth, he said to them, put them in the basket and give them to the people. And when they turned around, there was hundreds of loaves and hundreds of fish.
It's amazing, isn't it? That is something. Just imagine if you were there. Yes. Wouldn't that have been amazing to be there? Yes. I would love to have seen that miracle. What other miracles can we think of? I remember someone called Jairus. Jairus had a daughter who remembers about, can you remember?
I think the daughter died and then Jesus came and brought her back to life again.
He did. Do you know what he said to her? He took her by the hand and he goes, little girl, I say to you, arise. And she did. That's amazing. What other ones can we think of? Can we think of someone who maybe couldn't see? What about when someone couldn't see? Can you think of a man called Bartimaeus? Do you know what he did? Can anyone think? Bethany, do you think you might know?
He ran after Jesus and was calling him.
That's right.
And the disciples told him to go away. And Jesus said, no, bring him to me. And he spat in the mud and he put it on his eyes and washed it off.
That's awesome. Well done, Bethany. That's absolutely fantastic. So blind Bartimaeus, he ran after Jesus and he really wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus gave him his sight back. So there's amazing things that Jesus did, didn't he? But I've got something to tell you. He also did a lot of other things that weren't as spectacular as that. Because you see, Jesus wasn't just about the big miracles. He didn't just show up and just say, right, I'm going to do this big miracle today, and tomorrow I'm going to do this big miracle, and the next day I'm going to do this big miracle. He lived his whole life the way God would want him to live. So that means that he lived his whole life full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And sometimes I think that can be even harder. Your whole life like that. Do you know, when I was thinking about it, I was thinking, how amazing must it have been for Zacchaeus to have Jesus come and have a meal with him? How amazing must it have been for the woman who was caught doing something that she shouldn't have been doing, but Jesus stopped her being stoned, having stones thrown at her? Or how amazing must it have been when Jesus was on the cross and he was dying and he saw his mum there and he made sure that she was looked after. What he asked one of his disciples to look after her and make sure she was cared for. And that was very important that he did that in that society, because otherwise no one would have cared for her. Or what about on the beach? Can you remember what he did on the beach? He had a barbecue. Do you remember that story? He had a barbecue for his friends. His friends had been fishing all night. Just imagine how hungry you normally are in the morning. And then if you've been out all night fishing, imagine coming in and seeing a barbecue with fresh bread and fish and everything smelling lovely and it had been cooked for you. Or what about on the road to Emmaus and lots of other times when Jesus sat with his disciples and he explained things that were really hard for them to understand, and he took the time to explain what the scriptures meant so they understood them. Those things weren't big, spectacular miracles, but they changed those people's lives, didn't they? And I think they are just as relevant today as all those miracles that Jesus did. So that's what we're going to think about today. And I am going to use our creative worship project that we've been doing with our group Blaze on 9 to 12 to help us think about that. Now I'm going to invite Antonia up, who has helped to do this. She's been our in-house artist, who's been fantastic at leading this. And I'm going to ask any of the kids in Blaze, if you would like to come up, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about what it was like doing this. And first things first, actually, in case you don't want to answer any questions, and that's okay, I'd love you just to come up here and let us give you a little round of applause, because guys, you have just done a wonderful job doing this. So anyone who's in the group Blaze, will you all give them a round of applause and just come up here and just take a stand, even if you go back and sit down, that's okay. Come on guys, Ellie, come. I can see you, you can't pretend you're not here. Come on Daniel, just stand up, just take a round of applause. Oh, you've got your photo. Daniel has even more photos. Isn't this fantastic? And then I know there are some more sitting out there who don't want to come up. But these guys did an amazing job taking these photos. So what I'm going to do is you hang out there for a little while. So Antonia, I want you, I don't know if I can stand in front of that. It makes it go funny. So come over here. It makes it squeal at me. So tell me, Antonia, how did you come up with the idea of this?
Well, I thought of it back in June, actually, but just in relation to something else, the idea of taking photographs in the area, outside and inside, you know, and then it was gone. And then, except about a month ago, you asked me to work on on the theme of the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood.
This is our Christmas theme. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. It's a message translation of John 1:14, which says the Word became flesh
and dwelt amongst us.
There you go.
And so I went home and I prayed, and the idea popped back into my head miraculously. Another miracle. And so I thought photography was the idea, and I thought that kids can do things with photographs and they can have a sense of ownership of it, you know. Whereas if you were to do a drawing project, it would take a long time.
Yeah.
And also I wanted to try something new. So we divided into groups.
Brilliant.
There was a big organisation thing of getting cameras and getting permission and all the rest of it. But when the day finally came, we were divided into small groups, and I was with three of the boys, and it was lovely. We just went around the neighbourhood taking photographs, and if we took a photograph of somebody up close, we did ask for permission. And one of the guards up the street was photographed about 12 times that day, but he was lovely. You know, and there's a lady up in front of the church who's always there. I think she's in there twice. And I think the kids enjoyed it.
So go on, guys.
The neighbourhood, we could have done more. I mean, it's an amazing place if you go up with a camera.
It is, isn't it?
It really is.
So, guys, tell me, Antonia, you stay here. What was it like taking photos? Who wants to tell me? How did they find it? How did you find it? Do you think it was good?
Actually, we weren't there at the time,
okay.
And we had to do it separately.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The next day.
And how did you find that? Did you see in the neighbourhood or the community what you were expecting to see, or were you surprised by the things that you saw and you took photos of?
Well, we didn't really get anything that interesting, but...
Well, what was the most interesting thing that you saw?
Oh, yeah.
There was a gigantic tap on a building.
Wow, how mad is that? A gigantic tap. What do you think that was there for?
DIY stuff.
Cool. That is pretty cool. I've never seen that. Great stuff. And what else? What other unusual things did people see when they were taking photos?
There are these grass. There's grass growing along the roofs and on chimney pots and stuff. It looked really interesting.
So grass was growing just not on the ground?
Yeah.
That's cheeky. And did you manage to get photos of it?
I think I did get some, yeah.
Brilliant. And tell me, did you, Liam, did you see stuff in the neighbourhood that you were have seen before, or did you see some new stuff?
Yes, I did see some stuff that I have seen before, but also a good lot of new stuff.
And what was your favourite bit of new stuff that you saw?
Probably, I actually never realised that the gardens were actually like that. I thought, well, there isn't actually that many gardens in Dublin, but when you actually went into one, I was very surprised at how pretty it was.
It was really pretty. Mm. How lovely. So you found a garden and you got to go inside it and see how beautiful it was. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. I saw some beautiful photos of flowers there, and even though it was the autumn, they still looked so beautiful, didn't they?
Yeah.
Tell me, is it like the neighbourhood or the community you live in at home, or is it different?
It's much different than the community I live at home.
Okay, and was it what things? Can you name two things that were different?
There were three statues of some heads on the footpath.
Oh, those massive heads!
Yes.
Yeah, you don't come across them every day, do you?
No.
No, Vicar Street, outside Vicar Street. That's amazing. It's a beautiful piece of art. Someone did that. And what else? Are there the same shops that are near your neighbourhood, or were there more shops or less shops or
more shops?
More shops. Cool. Brilliant. So, guys, do you feel the same as you did about this community before you went out there? Had you ever really thought about where the church is?
No.
No. And now, when you drive into it, do you notice more things, or has it made you see it any different, or just the same?
A bit different.
A bit different. And what kind of bit different do you mean?
I sort of take in more things.
Maybe have a little bit more.
Yeah.
And Bethany, were you going to say something there? Did I hear you?
Well, it makes you see it in a different light. It's like, you know, familiar kind of, and you've seen all the little bits of it. And it's actually, it looks a lot prettier than it used to as you go around. And you see little spots of colour on window boxes and stuff. It makes it look nice.
That's absolutely fantastic. Well, guys, I think we need to give them a big round of applause because they've been absolutely wonderful. Thank you guys so much. Do you want to take a seat? That is brilliant. Thank you, Antonia, so much. It's fantastic. So the thing is that what I got some of the kids to look at before the service is I got them to choose their favourite photos that are up here, and I really want to encourage you all to come and have a look at some of these photos. There's people running, there's people throwing leaves, there's garden, there's old people, there's young people, there's animals, there's shops, there's cars, there's different churches, the whole thing. And what I ask the kids at the front to think about is if Jesus... Zach's now discovered that he can just run around. You're going to sit with your dada. If Jesus was in these photos, what would he be doing? Do you remember we were thinking before about what Jesus did, the stories that we've read about in the Bible, and how he cooked for his friends, or he ate a meal, or he showed someone love, or looked after, or made someone was looked after. What would God do in these, what would Jesus do in these photos? Now, who's filled out their piece of paper and will share some of the things that they've written down? You did some great answers. So what was your favourite photo?
The shop.
The shop. And what photo made you sad?
The chain.
Is there a chain? There's a big chain.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the most unusual?
The funny faces.
The funny faces. We did like the funny faces. And which makes you laugh?
And the girl throwing leaves.
Girls are throwing leaves. And what if you could put Jesus in those photos, what might he be doing or saying?
Being happy or being sad and being joyful.
We felt when we talked about this before, thank you so much, is that he would just, if we were happy, he would be happy with us. Or if he was sad, he would be sad with us. And actually, he would sit and be with us where we were feeling. And I think that's an amazing thing to think about how Jesus would be. Has anyone else got any things that they want to add to that? Daniel, can we save your photos for later? Is that all right? Okay, cool. Anyone else? Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to think about, the thing is that this is all of our neighbours, isn't it? Because it's the neighbourhood around which we go to church. But each of us also lives somewhere else, don't we? We don't live in the church. The last thing I checked, I hadn't seen any beds here. So we don't live here. We have our own communities, don't we? Our own neighbourhoods. And this project has made me think about how we can bring King Jesus into the neighbourhoods we live in ourselves. Right now, I want you to think about where your house is or where your flat is. I want you to think about the people that live around you. I want you to think about the people that visit your house, maybe the postman, maybe other people you see delivering goods up and down the street. I want you to think about what the houses or the flats are like where you are. And I want you to think about what the shops are like where you are and the other things, the playgrounds. And I want you to begin to think in your heads, and we're going to split into groups in a moment. What one thing, guys, I want you to be really quiet now and listen. What one thing, and I want all of you to choose something. What one thing can you do in this Christmas season, as we're running up to Christmas, that would be living the way Jesus would to bring King Jesus into the community? What can I do this Christmas season to bring King Jesus into my neighborhood, into my community? And I want to share with you some really simple stories, because my thing that I really want you to take home today is that it's the simple things that make a really big difference in our communities and where we are. We don't have to think, oh, you know, I'm not like Jesus, I can't multiply food, or I can't bring someone from the dead. I believe that you can, but you don't see, you know, it's not really easy. How can I do that? But what he says is there are simple things that we can do every single day. If we go to the next slide. It's the simple things that make a big difference. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, and goodness. So I'm going to tell you three stories before we split into a group. The first story is John's dad. John's dad has, they live in a terraced flat in London. And there's the little, you know, the small gardens. Like you were saying that you saw the small gardens here. They've got small front gardens. And lots of them have hedges. And one day, John's dad was going to cut his hedge. And then he noticed that the old lady down the street, who's quite elderly, she had a hedge too, and her hedge was quite overgrown. So he went out there, and while he was cutting his, he cut hers. And now he cuts most of the hedges along the street. And he just blesses them, and people can't believe it. They can't believe the first time he did it secretly and didn't tell her. And you could practically see her peering out the front gate, who's done that? He obviously didn't cut it down. It was a lovely cut. It wasn't like he cut it into like a shape of a star or something. It was beautiful. And they're just so thrilled, and that's really changed her life, having someone come along and caring about her garden. I want to tell you about my friend Lara. She moved to a new house recently, and she wanted to have a party, a housewarming party. And she thought, you know what I want to do, her and her husband? I want to invite the people who live around my house, not only the people that I know. And so she thought, well, I'll just send invitations, put invitations through the letterbox, and just see who comes. Maybe people don't want to come, maybe they will. Do you know what? Almost everybody she gave an invitation to came. And they came in and they said, you know what? For 20 years, no one has ever invited us into their house in this street. That she met so many people, and so many people met each other because of a simple act of saying, I will open my house and invite my neighbours in. It just blew their minds. And the third simple story is something that happened to me recently. I was very, very tired one day and very exhausted, and I happened to be talking to a friend of mine who comes to this church, and I just said, you know what, I feel rubbish and I'm really tired and I'm really exhausted. And you know what she did? 2 hours later, I had a whole meal brought to my house for me and my whole family. And that was such a blessing, but it was a simple thing that made a really big difference to me. Not only did I not have to cook, I felt loved and cared for and thought about that someone would do that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to split into little groups. Now, it doesn't have to be scary. You just have to turn around maybe in your seat. So little groups of five or so. If there's kids in them, make sure there's a few adults so we can all do it together and help each other. Because I want every single one of us to leave here today with one thing that we are going to do in our community in this run-up to Christmas that can... Just flick to the slide before. That like I'm bringing Jesus into my neighborhood. It might be something as simple as sending a Christmas card. You might want to pop on the door, knock on the door of someone who's elderly and see, can I help? Can I do anything for you? So I want you guys now to split into groups. So if you take where you are, and maybe you just move a few chairs, or if you just turn around in your seat into kind of groups of five, and I just want you to share maybe where you live, and maybe say the idea that you have, and what made you think of it. Okay? Do you think you can do that? So we're just going to do that for a few minutes. So maybe 5 minutes. So if you're sitting at the front, guys, if you parents, will you come up and join your kids at the front, and come and sit with them? And if you're a family, you might want to come up with one idea as a family that you want to do together. So who is going to share with me their idea? Should I get some ideas out the front? Daniel, what are you going to do?
I think we should do the shoebox appeal again this year.
You're going to do the shoebox for?
The shoebox appeal.
You know, the shoebox appeal. Guys, so who's heard of the shoebox appeal? So Daniel's idea on the run-up to Christmas is he's going to fill a shoebox full of gifts for Operation Christmas Child, isn't it? And they get sent out there. So what a fantastic idea over here.
Have people over for Christmas dinner.
Have people over for Christmas dinner. Wow, what a blessing that would be. I hope you asked your mama. Brilliant. So wouldn't that be great? What a blessing to bring King Jesus. What have you written down?
To give and to cherish others.
Oh, well, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? And those people who you cherish will be just so appreciated. What about you? What have you got written down?
I'm giving toys away.
You're going to give some toys away to some kids who don't have many toys. That is so kind. That would so bring King Jesus into our community, wouldn't they? Because they'll be so appreciated. What about back here? Come on.
Inviting neighborhood for Christmas carols.
Christmas carols, how much fun will that be? Oh, Charlotte, I don't live in your community. What a bummer. That sounds great. Now, what a fantastic idea. What about back here?
Invite a neighbor into a special breakfast.
Oh, special. That would be wonderful. And do you have a neighbor in mind?
Yes.
You have one. Well, I would like to be that neighbor. Wouldn't that be great? What about you?
Invite them to a Christmas party.
Christmas party. That'll be so much fun. That'll be so much celebration. Jesus would love that. What about back here? Anyone has written down their ideas over here who'll share them with us? What about a family? Has any family had an idea that they might do together? Or any ideas down here along this line? Everyone's avoiding my eye. This is the great way of doing it. They're like, if I don't look at her, she won't talk to me.
I'll send Christmas cards.
Send Christmas cards. Now, they're so special, aren't they? So people know that they're being thought about.
I will help people with their tree.
Help people with their trees. That'll be so beautiful. Thank you so much. What a wonderful idea. So, guys, if we all do what is on our piece of paper, can you even begin to imagine how many people's lives would be touched this Christmas? With those simple things, they'll make such a huge difference, won't they? I'm really excited about that. Are you excited about that? I want to challenge you guys to keep hold of that piece of paper and not shove it in the bin. And to go home and put it on your fridge. And I am going to challenge you to think, if I ask you in January who's done what they put down on their piece of paper, how many hands will go up? Because this is what Jesus wants us to do. When we grow up in his family, it's a journey that we're on. And the thing that he wants most of all is that people would come to know him and would know how much he loves us. And he uses us because we're his hands and feet right now on earth. And if we don't do it, who else is going to do it? So right now, before I hand over to John, he does the notices, we're just going to have a little time of prayer. Okay, and I'm going to pray that we will all be encouraged to do what we've written down. And that those people would be blessed because we are trying to bring King Jesus into our neighborhood. You might not even mention Jesus when you do it, when you invite them for your Christmas party. You might not even mention Jesus, but Jesus will be there by his Holy Spirit because you are doing it to bless his name. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for what a great God you are and how worthy you are to be thanked and praised. And Lord Jesus, we just think it is an amazing privilege that you would want to use us to bless and encourage other people. And I just lift up all those pieces of paper that have been written on this morning with all these different ideas, inviting people around for breakfast, looking after their trees, helping them out, caring for them, that you would remind us to do what we have said that we're going to do, that those people would be blessed by the fact that we are trying to bring King Jesus into our neighborhood this Christmas. And we thank you so much that we are celebrating the time when you came to earth and you moved into the neighborhood. And Lord Jesus, we just pray in this run-up to Christmas that often it can be very busy, but we remember that the simplest thing of all, which is that you came to earth, and we're just so grateful for that, Lord Jesus. So we pray now that as we end the service and I hand over to John, that you'll just be with us the rest of this day, and don't let us lose those pieces of paper, Lord Jesus. Remind us of them. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.